Okay, this is Jane.
Can I be on the stack a minute?
Yeah. Who is it?
This is Andrea. I just have a question.
Andrea, if it's stack, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Arlene, have you really looked at the budget at all on this for line item changes and that could be possibly made? Do we know the exact cost of what this election would be?
Well, we know what elections have cost us in the past. I can't say exactly what this election will cost, but it's going to be somewhere in that ballpark unless we make some changes in the way we handle it. Postage is a little more expensive than it was 2 years ago. Printing has probably gone up a tiny bit, but it won't be much more. We can save money. Bill put out quite a few proposals on ways that we can save. But anyway, we look at it, I think we're still looking at a minimum of something in the neighborhood of $150,000, probably more than that. We are literally having a series of meetings with each station management, suggesting and or mandating cuts that they need to make in order to be operating within their income. And unfortunately, at this moment, that's a real problem, and we can't afford not to. I mean, not only are we not paying, you know, any of our past due bills, and I'm not talking about the big bills from that have been going on for a couple of years, although we have to make some dents in some of those too. But there are some ongoing expenses that have to be covered that we're still have bills due that date back several months, and we can't continue operation like that. At some point, we begin to lose services.
Okay. Thanks. I was just wondering so that we can at least get an itemized look at all of this, because we didn't project any of this correctly. So we can look at the budget in order to see if we can, if there are any unexpended funds, if we can then reroute them to the election.
Right.
Is that analysis going on now? And then I'll stop speaking. Is that going on now? Because this is a priority, and we must have projected that we were hiring someone, so there must be a cost savings there.
We did project expenses for the election. What we didn't do a very good job of projecting was the number of bills that would be left unpaid, you know, from last year. And I'm not, as I say, I'm not talking about some of those bigger items that we need to begin to pay down. We projected doing some of that. But unfortunately, revenue is falling shorter than what was projected this year, and that's putting us in a bind.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, without objection, I think we should move on, because we are going to try to talk about cost savings. Can we move the agenda on to Carolyn's report about the are there any objections to moving the agenda at this point? The next item on the agenda is a report from Carolyn dealing with database integrity, financing the election, and update on staff registry program. Carolyn, did you want to deal with that?
Thank you. Yes, I sent just now to the committee a short statement, which is pretty much the gist of what I would say, and that is that Otis McClay reports that the online staff registry is ready for use by staff members, both paid and unpaid. The times entered must be approved by ISOM management, and it's ready to go. All that's remaining is for the general managers to be told that they have to implement it and given a deadline by which it has to be operational. This is a huge chunk of our past legal problems, questions of who's eligible to vote, who's not. I think it's a really important issue, so I'm happy that it's there, and I know that the GMs will be told soon that they must start to use it to record hours. if you just read that little statement from Otis that I just sent, I'd appreciate it. I think that's all I can say tonight. Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is a report from each director about station's database status. Does anybody have anything to say about that? This is Jane. We have directors. Go ahead. Does anybody have anything to report? Arlene touched on this in her report, indicating that she is working with the GMs to ensure that the databases are cleaned up. If there's no additions to that report, then I think we should move on to the old business item, which is the motion from Ken Aaron on equitable staff voting.
Excuse me, Jane, but I'm going to bow out at this point, and I'll touch base tomorrow with Carolyn to be sure I'm brought up to date on what conclusions you all came to tonight, and we'll work from there.
Thank you, Arlene.
Jane,
thanks, Arlene.
Jane, before Arlene leaves, can I ask a question?
Bob, go ahead. You're on the stack.
Yeah. Thank you. I just read this email that Carolyn sent, and I'm a little confused because it talks about volunteer staff, which first of all is stated it should say unpaid staff, can register. Their registry must be approved. They can enter times worked, and those times must be approved. There was never a GNB motion authorizing a mandatory staff hours registry. So what's the authority for imposing a requirement on all the staff to use this?
Okay, time out. Before, Carol, Arlene, are you still on the call?
I can answer that. Yes, I think the question was addressed to me, and it certainly will not be mandatory this year, Bob. It hasn't been there long enough, and it wouldn't include enough time and a long enough period of time. We are trying to move to some kind of accountability, and that appears to be the best way to go. So we may be moving that direction in the future, but we're not there yet, and it won't be for this year's election.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for that question, Bob. Thank you, Arlene.
Thanks, everybody, and I look forward to hearing some creative solutions tomorrow.
The next agenda item is from a motion from Ken Aaron. Ken, do you want to go ahead and read it to us, or do you want to read it?
No, I can read it.
Go ahead.
Okay. And after I read it, I wanted to motivate it and handle concerns people might. I might have gotten some emails about it. In elections for staff delegates to the LSB, no program or collective will have more than 3 votes allocated to its participants, paid, unpaid, or volunteer. If there are more than 3 individuals qualified to vote in that group, the head producer will determine how the right to vote will be allocated. Any disputes about these assignments will be resolved by the program director, who will determine the legitimacy of people's participation. Second paragraph. Any individual participating in falsely reporting staff participation for the purpose of acquiring voting privileges for himself or another shall be banned from voting in any specific election as a voter or a candidate at any station or business unit for staff or listener sponsor election for a period of 5 years. The reason I'm doing this is, as we just heard, one of our members was challenging the station's right to have accountability to document who's in the station as a volunteer or as an unpaid staff member, or maybe even technically as a staff member. And therefore, we have had, at least my station, and I believe several others, programmers fabricating or declaring that they have 20 or 30 staff members, unpaid staff members, volunteering to participate in their program. Then those people get ballots, and that person or his assignee or agent gets elected to the LSB because they have, they're stuffing the ballot box, to use a colloquial expression. This motion has nothing to do with the unpaid staff union as exhibited in KPFA. It does not define or alter or require any stipulations as to what's required to be an unpaid staff member. It just puts a cap. Because we have programs where one person or two people are producing 4 or 5 hours a week of programming, and they have two people, and they get two votes. And we have other programs that produce 1 hour a month, and they have 20 or 30 people, and they get 30 votes. So it's just turned into an abusive situation. I have no intent to bend or violate or compromise any bylaw. I believe this is in the area of implementation to stop abuse, use of the bylaws to find a hole to commandeer an election. I initially put in a limit or cap of any programming of 3 votes. Of course, I would amend that at this point to make it more reasonable, like 6 votes or 8 votes. But for somebody to be producing a show and saying that they need 30 people to produce an hour a day or even or only an hour a month is facetious. Is that a good word? So I'm just trying to get a real universe cap on this to stop the piracy of the staff. That's it. That's what this motion is about.
Okay, so you're making this motion, and I understand that in committees we don't need a second. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so we have a motion on the table. Ken, just for clarity, did you want to go ahead and change the motion you're putting on the table to say 6 votes? Is that, did I hear you correctly? Ken?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was on mute. Yes, change the number 3 in the 2 places to 6.
Okay, all right, so...
point of information.
Who's speaking?
Teresa.
Teresa, go ahead.
Does the resolution say up to 6 max? Does it say up to...
This is what it says, Teresa. In elections for staff delegates to the LSV, no program or collective will have more than 6 votes allocated to its participants, paid, unpaid, or volunteer. If there are more than 6 individuals qualified to vote in that group, the head producer will determine how the right to vote will be allocated. Okay, who would like to be on the staff?
Point of order.
Speak to this motion.
This is Lydia.
This is Bob with the point of order.
Okay, Bob's point of order, and then Lydia.
Okay, yes, this motion would amount to an amendment to the bylaws, and so the only way in which we can consider it is if it is put forward as an amendment to the bylaws, but otherwise... for the reasons that Lydia said earlier about the issue of canceling or postponing the elections, it's the same principle which is in California's code, and it's also in our bylaws, which is any decision by Pacifica that abridges any existing rights of members can only be voted on by the members themselves.
Okay, Bob, I want to go ahead and ask you to do something for us, because I've read the bylaws pretty extensively, and I don't believe that there's anything here that would be in violation of anything in the bylaws. So could you please let's go ahead and take some other comments, and in the meantime, if you could give us a specific reference that you believe this violates, then I'll go ahead and come back to you.
I have the reference. I'm on the stack already. This is Lydia.
Leslie on the stack.
Oh, Lydia, you have it?
Yes, I have it in front of me, and Carolyn sent it out earlier, but I'm happy to read it.
Okay, so Lydia, you were next.
Lydia
was next on the stack. Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay. I want to.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait. The only person I've heard for the stack so far is Lydia.
Leslie.
Did anybody else want to get on this?
Yes.
Revelin. Revelin.
I'm hearing Revelin, and I'm hearing 2 or 3 other names.
And
Wesley. And yes. Revelin? Okay. So we have Lydia, Wesley, and then Revelin. Go ahead.
Okay, so I want to preface this in terms of how you read the bylaws. For example, last week we considered a motion on the PMB about program councils, because the bylaws just say we're supposed to have one, but it doesn't specify anything beyond that. In terms of the staff and their membership as voting members, the bylaws are very specific. And what it says staff members will be, many things that we already know. And then it says any volunteer or unpaid staff member of a foundation radio station who has worked for said radio station at least 30 hours in the preceding 3 months, exclusive of fundraising marathon telephone room volunteer time, said volunteer work shall be performed under the supervision of the foundation radio station management and shall not include volunteer work, etc. But it's very specific. It tells you these are the people that can be members. They have to work 30 hours in the preceding 3 months. If you infringe on that in any way, even if you reduced it to their benefit, it doesn't make any difference. It would require a membership vote, as it says in California Corporations Code, so the bylaws would have to be amended.
Okay, so Lydia actually was speaking to the point of order that Bob brought. And so since there is, the point of order is still on the table, does anybody else want to speak to the point of order that Bob made and Lydia backed up, which is that this motion...
Yes, this is Anthony. I'd like to speak to...
Which bylaws? It's Article 3,
and Carol and other sections.
Okay, one moment. So Lydia mentioned it's Article 3...
Article 3, Section 1B.
So we're addressing the point of...
Hello?
Yes, I heard Anthony. Thank you. Anthony, so before I turn to Anthony, Wesley or Revlin, were you going to speak to this point of order about the issue that this...
Yeah.
Because
if
you...
Can I just say something?
Go ahead, Revlin.
I'm on a bus that's going from D.C. to New York. I'm going in a tunnel soon, and I may lose you, so I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. I'm ready
to go through the tunnel, and I won't have access to the phone or anything.
Okay, we'll come back on the other side. Okay, hey, Wesley, were you going to speak to the point of order, or can I...
Yeah.
Were you going to speak to the...
I can do both at once.
Okay.
The bylaws say you have a certain number of hours that you have to consider within 30 hours left in 4 months. And if you actually hold these people accountable, then there's no need for the motion to begin with. So I would support that it is a bylaw amendment.
Okay, and then Anthony. Thank you, Wesley. Anthony?
Yeah, I'm looking at the Article 3, Section B, staff members, subsection. Part D, Section 5, which is just one paragraph, which says, all members shall have all rights granted to them by law or by these bylaws, including, without limit, the right to vote on the terms and manner set forth in these bylaws on the election and removal of delegates, and then it goes on. But I think those key words are without limit. Now, I'm sure the attorneys here can parse that word a lot, but to me it seems pretty clear that... saying a collective of 10 members only can have 6 votes is indeed a limit on voting of staff members.
Okay.
So I would support Bob's contention that this is indeed a matter that would require a bylaw amendment.
The only other person I heard asking to be on the stack was Carolyn.
And Bob, I want to finish my point.
I mean, personally, I'm ready to rule. Am I allowed to rule at this point?
You can rule whenever you want.
Have we finished the chat?
Carolyn, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that the key word there is not so much without limit, but the staff. The management has the right to determine who is staff. And if people are on the collective who have not done the work, and management has no record of doing the work, whether it's 1 or 21, they shouldn't get the vote. I think we've always, number one. Number two, less and other, I think, if I'm not mistaken, local and national supervisors have questioned the right of people to be members who cannot prove that they have done the work, to be rather volunteer staff is that term. And I think that management always has the right to determine who is staff and who isn't. That right supersedes the bylaws and the California Code.
Right. That's good. Carolyn, I think that actually that was the point that that Wesley made, which is that if they're keeping track of who is staff as required in the bylaws, that there would be no need for this motion. So I'm going to rule in favor of Bob's motion, point of order, that this is out of order because it would require a bylaws amendment.
Oh, I would object to that.
Okay, we have an objection to. Okay, we have two objections to my ruling, and what is required to overrule?
Yes, vote support for the chair's ruling, a no vote.
Okay, all right. So, how many have to vote no? How many have to vote no to overturn the ruling?
A majority, either way.
Okay. Is it a two-thirds or a majority? I don't know.
It's a majority.
Okay, so if you would like to overturn my ruling that this motion is out of order because it requires a bylaws amendment as has been brought to our attention, vote no. If to support my ruling, vote yes. To overturn my ruling, vote no. Okay?
I don't understand it.
Okay. Based on what I heard, I am ruling that, as Bob indicated, this motion would require a bylaws amendment. And so it's out of order for us to consider it. If you would like to allow my motion to stand, vote yes. To overturn my motion, my ruling, vote no.
Okay,
that seems counterintuitive.
It is, but that's
okay. All right. So, so a yes is to affirm the ruling. No is to overturn the ruling and allow continued discussion on this motion.
That is correct, yes.
Which we're out of time on. Okay, so let's go ahead and vote on the motion to over... Okay, so...
The motion to uphold is yes.
Thank you. Okay, to uphold the ruling, vote yes. Ken Aaron?
I just want to make a brief statement. There's too much contention on this, and I don't want us to get involved in spending time and fighting about it, whether it goes either way, so I will abstain.
Okay. Fred Blair?
I pass for now.
Lydia?
Yes.
Ivan?
Yes.
Revlin?
Yes.
That was Wesley saying yes. How about Revlin?
Sorry.
That's okay. Revlin? Oh, Revlin's in the tunnel. Nia?
Yes, to pull the chair.
Carolyn?
Abstain.
Bob?
Yes.
Is Manajay on yet? Anthony?
Yes.
Sasha?
Yes.
Tracy? Andrea?
Yes.
Teresa?
No.
Okay. Wesley was a Yes.
Yes.
And Nancy's still not on? Okay. Yeah, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 yeses, 1 no. Does anybody who passed the first time around wish to express a vote? Fred?
I'm going to abstain.
Abstain, okay. Carolyn? Okay. All right, then the ruling stands. We're past time on this agenda. We're late on our agenda. Moving on, the next item is under the draft agenda proposed. Oh, new business. Okay, there's a motion. Okay, there are three motions that were sent around. The first two were motions that I drafted, but Carolyn had an earlier draft. So with permission, I would like to read the final draft of my motion number one. Okay, without objection, motion number one titled Endorsement of Balloting at Central Location. Whereas significant costs and technical problems have been associated with tallying ballots individually at 5 stations, and whereas this procedure is not required by the bylaws, therefore be it resolved that the Elections Committee endorses the concept of tallying ballots at a central location in a method that adheres to all bylaws requirements. So that's my motion.
I second that.
You don't second it.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Who would like to be on the stack for this motion?
This is Ken. Point of order. I think it'll pass without objection.
Are there any objections to this motion?
Yes.
No.
Okay. There is an objection. So. Can we move to a vote without discussion?
I can speak to my objection. This is Bob.
Bob, go ahead and speak to your objection.
Okay. Clearly, this would save money. There's no disputing that. But the problem with it is that what we lose in accountability and oversight is the ability of the listeners and staff at each of the 5 stations who know the specific candidates that are on the ballot and, you know, the conditions locally, and can provide that vitally needed oversight of the way disputed ballots are being counted. And I've observed this in, I think, probably all 5 elections, is that there's sometimes questions because voters are confused and they'll make a mark that is hard to interpret. For people who know kind of, you know, who the candidates are locally and other things, will, and in some cases the actual voter who cast that ballot will recognize, and this has happened too, they'll recognize their own ballot. And so I think that kind of transparency at the local level is absolutely vital in order to make sure that everything is being, all the decisions about disputed ballots are handled fairly.
This is Lydia.
Okay, I hear Ken and then Lydia.
Okay, I've also served local elections and been participating in monitoring L.A. County elections. And there's a balance. While there's a possibility of recovering some obscure vote, I think it would be very questionable for somebody to recognize a ballot or who filled it in, said, I understand who filled this in. The ballots are supposed to be anonymous. Therefore, there should be no knowledge that we're used to in reading a ballot in terms of how the marks are made. And there's just as much opportunity for interference or compromise of the ballot counting that's entailed in having it distributed to the 5 stages. There's a higher level of safety if the counting's done in one place than if it's done at the stations, at 5 different stations, where it's easier to create an undue influence, which I've seen many, many times, with shifting the ballots around, picked up what from the post office and where they stored overnight and who took them home. and who's counting them and who's opening the envelopes and all of that from interested parties sitting at the station. There's a greater level of anonymity. The ballots are counted in a central location by uninvolved parties. Higher level of safety. And it costs them. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ken. Lydia?
It seems to me that in my opinion, whoever the losing candidates are the ones that are obviously more upset, and then you get into the issues of there wasn't enough transparency or this went wrong or whatever. That is why transparency at the local level is so absolutely important, because the candidates who are running, of course, they usually stop by to see the process. Over and above that, I think that you're going to find that if we pass this motion, that the LSB are going to weigh in on something that they feel is something that is being taken away from them, which is the ability to see the election process as it culminates and have that level of transparency and participation, not direct, obviously, but simply as observers. It gives you an incredible sense of confidence in that process. And that's kind of like double the threats of suits and blah, blah, blah. So even though I do recognize that it would save money, but it's that, penny wise, pound foolish rule that I think is at stake here. But transparency is paramount with these elections to avoid those suits. Thank you. So Carolyn, on the stack, please.
Yeah, thank you, Carolyn. I lost. No way. Go ahead, Carolyn.
I think this, if I may, this is a no-brainer. The transparency problem can be solved easily by sending one or two observers from every LSB to the central counting and tallying room. And we can put the whole thing on video, on Skype, and people could look at the ballots being held up on the screen if they wish. That's easy. It's not impossible to do that. And people back home could gather in one place and watch the process on the internet, on the screens, projected as large as they like. I think that this is one of those issues that when the ED and the CNB consider the costs, they have to think of how foolish it is to have this procedure done locally. Meaning flying around with a supervisor, a technical assistant, to five different stations in 10 days or 12, 15 days, whatever it takes. It's just an enormous, enormous waste of money. Our vendors have pointed out, looking at our proposals, that this would save us a great deal of money, an enormous amount of money, to do it this way. And I think that when those proposals come before PMB, they'll see that it's a very simple thing. I agree with Ken that the opportunity for fraud and abuse is much greater at the local level, unfortunately. So I really urge you to take advantage of this procedure. It'll be safer. It'll be cheaper. Thank you.
Bob, for the second.
Yeah, and Sasha. Jack.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I heard Bob, and then who else?
Sasha.
Sasha, Bob, and then
James.
Sasha, go ahead.
James,
point of order, point of order.
Wait.
Bob already spoke on this one, but he has to go to the bottom.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's true. So we go Sasha, and who else?
James, point of information.
Who is speaking?
This is Ivan.
Go ahead, Ivan.
I don't know if I used the correct phrase, but I think that we all know how we're going to vote, and to be honest with you, the discussion that we're having right now is not going to assume my vote or not. So if we have a lot to discuss, then we should go ahead and vote.
I agree.
Yeah.
With calling the question.
Yeah, okay. So Ivan has called the question.
No, he said point of information. If he's going to call the question, he has to be on the stack and you have to recognize him.
I have a further point of order. You can't call the question in committees, according to Robert's rule. You can only.
Okay. That's. I think
to allow
I remember.
A reasonable
Teresa on the stack.
Okay, so listen, let's just, Ivan, I agree with you, but I think that what the people are saying sounds awfully familiar to me, so I'm going to just allow the conversation to continue, but I lost track of the stack. So we're still...
Sasha.
Okay, thank you. Sasha, and then who else?
And Bob, if there's anyone else.
And Teresa.
There was somebody. Teresa. Sasha, okay. Teresa, Bob. Okay, and then I'd like to encourage us to stop there if we're willing and take the vote after Bob. Sasha, Teresa, Bob. Go ahead.
Sasha has already spoken, has she
not?
Not on this topic. Go ahead, Sasha.
Not only that, I didn't speak on the last question, even though I kept saying Sasha for the stack.
I missed you, sorry.
It's okay. I understand. So I actually don't know how I'm going to vote on this. And I'm curious. People keep saying it's going to save a lot of money. We've been told it's going to save a lot of money. There's a lot of discussion. And so I have a question. How much is it going to save? Does anybody know? And are you adding in, I mean, if one did Carolyn's suggestion of sending two people from the other four stations, or maybe from five stations to a central location, we're still flying two people around the country and putting them up.
And the ballot.
Okay, Sasha, I almost had another line on this proposal. I'm going to jump in at the end of the stack to address that second question. But I think I've heard the figure 30 to 50,000. Bill, can you clarify that?
What is it based on?
Proprietary information that are under proposals on the live stream.
Okay. It could save a lot of money. I guess as much detail as we can go into it on this. Who else was on the stack? I'm sorry, I had Teresa and then Bob.
Okay. I would say it's clear that it would save at least $2,500 in hotel bills. It would save, if you're talking about two people, if you're talking about salary, paying these people's salary for at least 10 to 15 days to go around someplace, perhaps renting rooms to do the counting and to have the equipment. And then there's airfare and their meals, and I don't know what else. Anyway, that's just one clue as to what's involved there. So I would say at least 10,000, maybe more like 15. Okay. The other thing is what I'm concerned about. I am for this. I think that at some point we have to trust. We have to trust the company that is handling our ballots. This is, I think, a big step for us, but I don't think it's that big. I'm looking right now. I have in front of me Amnesty International ballot for their board of directors, and obviously they have a company that's counting them, and they have a company that is, you know, giving you a choice of either electronic ballot or they'll take it through the mail. So I'm hopeful that. That we can just make a calm decision to try this, and I'm confident that it will turn out okay. Thank you.
Bob, and then I had something to say. Was there anybody else? Bob, go ahead.
Okay, well, first, just to clarify one thing I said earlier that someone else had a different view on. When I referred to recognizing one's ballot, I was particularly referring to write-ins, and that comes up in every election where names are written, and sometimes they might not be spelled right or whatever. So that was the particular reference there, and it's quite plausible that people could recognize their handwriting. But the more fundamental point, when others have referred to it being safer and more secure when it's in one location rather than five, I don't understand the logic there, because either we trust the people that Pacifica's hired to supervise these elections or we don't, and then it doesn't matter if they're doing it in one location or five. It's that, you know, there's been a proper vetting, assuming there's been a proper vetting process, and that the people you know, have passed the qualifications to be considered fair and impartial outside arbiters of the election, then that's not an issue. And conversely, if you don't trust, you know, the people, then that could be true in one location as easily as it could be in five. So I just don't see that, and I also share the question about how if we are sending two representatives from each LSB, and I don't see how we could send any less than two, to a central location, then that right there seems to eliminate almost all the cost savings because you have that airfare and perhaps a hotel, in a different form. So I think that's why it's really important to keep with the local transparency.
Okay, I would like to make, as the maker of this motion, I would like to make it clear that it was my intent when moving this, that this motion shall not be construed as to endorse paying for observers' travel. And because of the discussion we're having, I'm going to ask if we can vote on that addition prior to voting on the main motion. Would that be in order? Okay. Yeah, based on the discussion, I would like to move in addition to the motions on the table that this motion shall not be construed to imply that Pacifica shall pay for travel for local observers. This endorsement shall not be construed as a mandate that Pacifica pay for travel for observers.
Teresa on the stack.
I agree with the amendment.
Okay. Because of the shortness of time, can we vote on that proposed amendment, you guys?
Yes.
Teresa, go ahead.
I approve the amendment, and I would also suggest that what we could do is if, for example, the central location was somewhere else, I think we could contact local League of Women Voters or some group or maybe another station and ask if they have some volunteers that would come over and be objective observers of the process. I think that might be feasible.
Thank you. That's great. I know that I've recently run across contacts for the League of Women Voters that I think could be helpful in something like that. I'm sorry, I was out of order. Anybody? So the motion is to amend the motion with the addition, this endorsement shall not be construed to imply that Pacifica shall be expected to pay for observers' travel expenses.
Perhaps there's no...
If we can, are there any objections to that amendment to this motion on the table? Okay.
I'll be voting no on that.
Okay. All right, so let's just go ahead and vote on that proposed amendment to the motion on the table. Ken?
Yes.
Okay. Fred?
Yes.
Lydia?
No.
Ivan?
Yes.
Revlin? Reblin's not back yet. Jane votes yes. Nia? Nia?
No. Did you hear me, Jane? No.
I hear you now. No. Okay. Carolyn?
Yes.
Bob?
No.
Is Monajay on? Anthony?
I vote yes.
Sasha?
No.
Tracy? Andrea?
I pass.
Teresa?
Yes.
Wesley?
Yes.
Is Nancy on? Okay, we have one, two, three. Andrea, did you want to vote?
Yes.
And your vote is?
Did you get
yes
vote?
Or no? Yeah, thank you, Wesley. Your vote was a yes.
Thank you.
Andrea, how did you want to vote?
I abstain.
Abstain. Okay, thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 yeses. 1, 2, 3, 4 noes. Okay, so the amendment passed. 8 yes, 4 no. So now we'll vote on the main motion, which do I need to read it? Anybody request a rereading of it? If not, we'll go ahead and take the main motion number one. The motion as amendment. Can Aaron?
Yes. Wait. Hold on. Hold on, please. Is that motion for
the vote started? Please. No. Hold on.
I know what we're doing.
I voted yes.
I'm sorry, Ivan. What was the question?
I just wanted to know. Can you please tell me what the motion is again, please? Is that for the centralization of the voting?
Yeah, what this motion says is to the Elections Committee endorses the concept of tallying ballots at a central location in a method that adheres to Pacifica bylaws.
Okay.
This endorsement shall not be construed to imply that Pacifica shall pay for observers' travel. Okay, so that's what we're voting on. So Ken voted yes, and I got to go back to my roster table. Okay, Fred Blair?
Yes.
Lydia?
No.
Ivan?
Yes.
Revlin? Revlin's still not back. Jane votes yes. Nia?
No.
Carolyn?
Yes.
Bob?
No.
Anthony?
Yes.
Sasha?
No.
Andrea?
No.
Teresa?
Yes.
Wesley?
Yes.
Okay. We have 8 yes, 5 no. The motion carries. Okay. So, the next motion... the next motion is an endorsement for motion number two in the cost saving measures is endorsement of streamlined election procedures. This reads, whereas established policies and procedures for on-air candidate spots, on-air forums, and in-person off-air forum exceed bylaws requirements. And whereas there is no evidence available that these procedures have increased member participation in our elections, and whereas these policies and procedures place a workload on the LESs, NES, and station staff that exceeds Pacifica's current financial capacity, and whereas oversight in any of these areas expose us to risk of lawsuits, therefore, be it resolved that the Elections Committee endorses the concept of streamlined policies and procedures that are consistent with ideals of participatory democracy. I'm moving this motion. Are there any objections?
Yes.
Okay, we have an objection. So we're going to open the table for discussion. Who would like to be on the stack? Was that a Sasha? I'm sorry. Was that Sasha that objected? Yes. Thank you. Point of information from somebody?
Yeah, Ken. There was nothing, no specific mandate. It was just a motion that indicated an intention, but it didn't say it was canceling or requiring any activity. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct. Therefore, be it resolved, the Elections Committee endorses the concept of streamlined policies and procedures that are consistent with ideals of participatory democracy.
This is Lydia to the stack.
Go ahead, Lydia.
But I think Sasha was ahead of me, wouldn't she? Or she objected?
I'm the invisible committee member.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to say...
No, Lydia, you're correct. Sasha was ahead of you. Go ahead,
yeah.
Sasha. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what the purpose is of this, because it it's just sort of really, as Ken just pointed out, not really saying anything. But it's based on the fact that you don't think anybody listens to our radio stations or pays any attention to the elections or cares about the elections. And I would like to suggest that it's really important to use our own airwaves to put out word about the elections and to continue with the on-air forums and on-air candidate spots and so forth, because what will happen otherwise is you're going to find voting really falling off. And I say this as somebody who's worked in the media, in radio, and in print, and so I do know what I'm talking about, but, you know, if you really don't believe that anybody listens to our radio station, I mean, why are we doing all this? You know, I'm sort of really astonished by this. I think, you know, we don't really want to put out any words that would discourage management of stations and local election supervisors and national election supervisors to be not making use of our airwaves. And this is to suggest that. That's all.
Lydia was next on the stack.
Yes, one of the things is that when you have stations that do not make quorum because of lack of participation, I mean, those are the stations in particular, and it's really all of us because people aren't voting like they used to when things were really hot, then they need to be able to distinguish between the board members. And I don't know about other stations, but when we are interviewed during those on-air forums, there are questions that I really have to think about. I mean, they look at your candidate statement, and they go beyond that, and what do you stand on this? This is what the listeners need to know, is where we really stand, because there is no requirement of even putting a bio or a resume. You know, we can say, oh, we all say, oh, we love the station, and we love Pacifica, and whatever. It tells them nothing. And so, therefore, these candidates, statements and the candidate forms are really, really important. But also, you speak to the fact we don't pass motions on concepts. You know, if we have specific procedures, if there's a specific procedure, if it is the on-air forms or if it is the candidate, whatever it is, then that's what the motion needed to be. So I think this was an ill-conceived motion to begin with, so I'm going to vote no.
Okay, Carolyn, okay, I hear Carolyn, Anthony, and somebody else. Okay, Carolyn, Anthony, Teresa, and then Jane.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
This motion was designed to avoid just the kind of conversation that has come up. Both Lydia and Sasha have good points. I think they should be on the work group, and I think that there's could be a lot of things we could do better, as both of them have pointed out. So I don't think there's anything wrong procedurally with our establishing a work group. And I would like to urge that we do that as quickly as possible.
Anthony?
Yeah, I was going to tout some of the virtues of on-air candidate forums. Among other things, it allows candidates to be heard on an equal basis, and thereby it helps offset the influence of some factions having more money than other factions. And also, I don't know that they're particularly costly, because some of the staff assistance that's rendered to these on-air forums is provided on a volunteer basis. So I like the concept of a work group to examine issues of how to save expenses. So I could live with this motion if all the objectionable whereas clauses were deleted and the operative clause remained on establishing the work group.
Where is the work group?
It's not in the current motion.
Where's the work group in this motion?
There's not. Who's speaking?
Sasha.
Sasha, okay. No, it's not in the current motion. It was suggested by Carolyn that we urge that she urge the establishment of a work group. Anthony,
no, actually, point of information, Jane, I think you read something that I did not put out in the agenda.
the one that you read is not the one that's in the agenda in front of us. Send your version out, and why is there a different version?
No, okay, I'm sorry. When we approved the agenda, I was told that I asked about this because I said that the version that you sent out was an earlier version and that this was my final version. And just to clarify, the reason why I removed the passage about establishing a work group is because I'm really I'm having a big problem with management by committee, and I wanted to empower our national election supervisor to find creative ways to streamline these procedures. I'm not particularly objecting to a work group except for one thing, and that's that no matter who is on that work group, no matter how good their intentions are, somebody is going to accuse them of being biased and influencing the election by their ideas. And so I'm trying to remove us from the process by just not even mentioning it. But, I mean, I like the idea of people working together on it, but I was responding to...
Did you send out the original language that you preferred and insert it? Because
no, I did. What I sent it out.
Agreed on.
No, I sent this out, and I was told that I could just read the revised, the final draft when it came to introducing the motion.
I must have missed that. Sorry.
I'm sorry. So the motion on the table again. Has a language that, I'm sorry, the next person on the stack was Teresa.
I agree that Lydia has a good point and Sasha has a good point, but my point is this. I think that we are paying these local supervisors for long periods of time. It's a pretty lengthy process. We're setting all kinds of things up for the candidates. We have outreach committees, and some of us have local elections committees, but we are dependent upon the election supervisor to do a wide range of things. And I'd like to get to a point where if the election supervisor determines that something might not be as effective, and if the on-air forums or panels are more effective, then they might determine that, you know, that a little bit difference on how to spend their energy to save money. Ultimately, I would like to spend less and less every year by learning from our experience, and that's why I support this motion. And ultimately, I give more credit to our national election supervisor and our local election supervisors, and hopefully our staff and outreach committee to work with these people to help them to run some of these public functions and some of these carts and some of these on-air forums so it's a less expensive process, because we've gotten into a point where we're paying for a lot of things. Thank you.
Wesley,
on Sasha
the
for the stack, and Sasha for the stack, please.
Okay, Wesley and then Sasha.
Thank you. Our manager at KPFT has already said that he wants to devote more time to the national elections than he wants to cut back the time that we spend on all these yeehaws. I don't know if he didn't say that. I'm just paraphrasing. Or he wants to cut it back. And I think this kind of transparency, we have trouble enough making quorum. We need these forums very bad. Why this was included in this, I might have supported it, but simply for that, we need to give other people the same chance we had when we got to make our statements, and it's a radio station. It doesn't cost us anything to talk, you know. Thank you.